Hi, this is Doug Deacon. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime, anywhere. Download the Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, rocking and rolling here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to go back to the phones here. I have Sterling in North Canton.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Sterling. How are you?
I'm good. At 12, I was looking at to help the defensive line out with either Malcolm Brown or Danny Shelton, if Danny Shelton's off the board. And then with 19, maybe look to trade back to gain some more mid-round picks. Because last year I felt like we did a really good job of every round besides the first round. And then in that, with that still, that first-round pick, I think we could get Doriel Green Beckham, which, in my opinion, has the most upside out of any receiver in the draft.
You think it's worth the risk, though, with the behavior issues that Cleveland Browns have had in the past year or so?
I understand Josh Gordon's going to leave a stain for a little while, but I think with all the upside that he has, I think it'd be worth the risk. And if he's in the league, will he be under the same substance abuse program that Josh Gordon was when he entered the league? Thanks, guys.
It's a very good question. I know that, of course, things have changed throughout the season last year, which allowed Josh Gordon to come back last year and take part in portions of the season. I don't know specifically if he will enter immediately into the same level of drug program.
And I know with Green Beckham, he had some substance issues early in his career, but the reason why he's not at Missouri was not substance related. It was another incident you have to read the police report, it's pretty ugly. He never was charged, but the police report itself was enough for them to say, hey, we're going to move on and I'm going to let you transfer. So his issues kind of go beyond that stuff. So that's what makes him kind of a big question mark. It seems like he's kept a low profile though over the last, was it now a year and a half almost. My concerns, again, as I mentioned earlier, they go beyond the off the field stuff. I'm leery of a guy who hasn't played football in a year. That's just me as well.
Be.
You know, I wonder. You can be in this phenomenal shape, but
not football shape.
It's not football shape. So that's another concern. But I for some reason could see a team like the Seattle Seahawks taking a risk on him in the first round. They need a big wide receiver. Pete Carroll has no problem taking those risks, it seems like, in the first round. The ones you hear about are the ones that work. You don't always hear about the ones that don't work, but. That's a team that, for some reason, them or maybe a team like the Ravens that need a wide receiver there late in the first round. For some reason, I don't see him going at 19 to the Browns, and for some reason, I don't see him being around in the second round for the Browns.
You know, and as you were describing that, and you selected Seattle, of course, and Pete Carroll, that very large personality that he is, and a risk taker that he is. And I immediately rolled my eyes. And the reason why I did that here, in the Dog Bowl, yes, you can't see it. That's why I had to explain it, is because it's just like a team like the Seattle Seahawks, coached by Pete Carroll, to take a risk strategically because of where they draft and the success they have. That, as you said, if they hit, I feel like he's going to hit big with them and he's going to be a star. And he's going to be a lot of the reason why they get back to probably yet another potential Super Bowl there in Seattle. But if he doesn't, they're so successful and have been so successful and have so many good guys, or big personalities on that team, that him is missing at 31 or 32 in the draft will just get swept under the rug, and they just keep chugging towards going back to the Super Bowl yet again.
Yeah, and I do think if the Seahawks have kind of earned that credit, if they do draft a guy like him, it will be kind of hailed as a great pick on draft night. It's kind of like almost like where the Patriots are at, where everyone kind of always seems to kind of think, oh, it's the Patriots, that they're going to do something right. Going outside of football, it's always like the San Antonio Spurs. Whenever they're drafting a guy in the late round that you didn't expect, everyone's like, oh, it's the Spurs are at it again. They're getting great. But a couple years ago when Pete Carroll helped draft Bruce Irvin and a couple other guys, I think the reaction was, what are these guys doing?
Yes.
Mel Kiper seemed just totally perplexed by how they were going about their draft. And it turned out that draft just was the backbone of that Super Bowl run and the reason why they're again going to be among the top favorites to go back to the Super Bowl next
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. Let's keep the calls rolling in. I've got Carlston and Huron.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I got a chance to meet Dick Ambrose and Cockrell at the Sandusky Mall.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and Coach Rudolitani from the – Cardiac Kid days.
Very cool.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys like Jalen Strong or Devontae Parker?
You know what? The more I read about Jalen Strong, he's, for me personally, he's growing in my favor, but I don't think so much that he's in play at 19.
No, well, yeah, I think Strong, maybe, if you could trade back a little bit.
But I bet at 19, I don't like Jalen Strong. At 25, I like him a heck of a lot more.
If you want Strong and you want to trade back at 19, you can't trade back all that much. So it's almost like you have to kind of bait a team into thinking you're going to take their guy at that spot and maybe lure them up and maybe get more out of them for them just to move up a few more spots, and then you can get Strong. I don't think he's going to be around beyond a 25, but I've had a hard time. I don't think I've seen anyone. Maybe a few people have put Strong ahead of Parker, but the vast majority seem to rank Parker and then a pretty significant gap and then Strong at that number four.
And it's very interesting. I have yet to see, just to talk about ranks of wide receivers, I've yet to see Devontae Parker go before Kevin White or Amari Cooper in any draft.
No, and then I think now...
So he's a clear three.
There was so much Kevin White momentum after the combine because of what he did, how he looked, just how he fits the part of the big time receiver. But now we're starting to go back to to what we saw a few months ago, and now people are kind of remembering that Amari Cooper's a pretty good wide receiver too, and he's kind of maybe supplanting himself, getting back to maybe that number one status, because it almost seemed like people were bored by Amari Cooper by the time
just,
the combine
just too
got
efficient.
There. Yeah, it's just he's such a good route runner. I think Greg Bedard at MMQB wrote he can run every single route on the route tree, as they call it. So I like to compare Amari Cooper to Chad Johnson just because he's not the bigger wide receiver, but he's just so precise in his route running. He gets open on a lot of plays. The total opposite of Chad Johnson when he's behind a microphone or just speaking and everything like that. He's a real quiet guy. But Cooper, I think, is such a sure thing. But as I think Charles Robinson said a couple days ago, people are just so intrigued by that upside from Kevin White. But is it going to be good enough to match what you know Amari Cooper's going to do?
Well, we'll find out soon enough. We hope that the Cleveland Browns are in play to get young, youthful, and size and efficiency at the wide receiver position. We're going to grab a timeout, one of our last timeouts. When we come back, we're going to hit after further review. You're listening to Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble, live from Berea in the Dog Bowl on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.